And we're back. What's up, everyone? Happy Monday. We're back with Jen. Jen, you've been not missing. I think, did you travel for a class or you went somewhere far on the first?
All of the above.
Week that you were off. And then the second week, we were going to try to record last week. And I one day was just kind of feeling it. I'm like, I'm just going to hit record and talk and I'll give you another week.
I needed it,
vacation.
I guess.
A little yeah. podcast vacation, but yeah. You're back. What have we been up to? We did the solar eclipse.
Solar eclipse.
Family. Last
week. If you don't subscribe to Todd's email, you should, because it tells you all about it.
Yeah, I'm going to write about it again. I want to write a blog post about that. It was one of the coolest freaking experiences ever.
True adventure from start to finish.
Yeah, and it was an adventure, and I purposely didn't plan just to kind of see. I was like, let's challenge the family a little bit. So I think it relates to business too, because you're going to have times, and I wrote this in my last email, but you're going to have times in business and in life in general where you just aren't sure. You're not able to plan, or maybe you do plan and you think you have everything figured out. And guess what? Everyone has a plan till you get punched in the face. What was that? Mike Tyson?
Yeah. And there's always a curveball.
Yeah. That was in there too. There's always a curveball that's going to come at some point. I'm not saying every time you plan something, it's doom and gloom, but
I plan everything 100%. There's just always going to be unknowns that pop up. And I think you just recently talked about this. It's the only thing you can really control in those situations is how you react to it. Like what you're going to do when that curveball is thrown at you and how well you can handle it. And every time it happens, you generally get better at reacting better to those situations.
For sure. I was really proud of our family dynamic, I guess, because I heard stories about, like your mom was telling us, one of her friends said they were screaming at each other and then the kids were crying. And I was like, well, if you're screaming at each other and you're losing your shit. And it would be really easy. And we got to a point where you were like, Todd, I need something. I don't know how to, because it was super stressful. And so for people that are listening, if you're wondering, we were sitting on the highway. At this point, we had gone 1.5 maybe miles in like 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. So gridlocked. That's gridlocked.
Yeah.
And
they shut down the exit, so you couldn't get off either. And even if you did want to get off, that town was gridlocked also. So there was nothing happening.
And
we had already been in the car for like 6 hours at that point.
Yeah, it was like over six. It was almost 7 hours that we were in the car at that point. So this was the trip home, I think, with our – again, I'll repost the blog. We don't have to tell the story here. But with the sleep, a little bit of sleep in a parking lot, I think it was like 16 hours.
Yeah, it was nuts.
From Northern
New York. And we all stayed positive. Like, it was crazy. And
yeah, for sure.
It actually was really fun. And I don't know, it was an amazing day.
It's a good indicator of where your mindset is. And I'm not saying that my mindset would have been like that any other day. But that day, my mind was able to wrap around, we're not moving. What are our options? And then assessing and then spinning around on a highway in front of police and just saying, fuck it. I have to get my family to, like the kids needed the bathroom and we didn't even have cell service because of where we were.
It was rough.
There were problems. So I want to touch on today some carryover that I see from the restaurant industry and apply it to salons. So I saw this post earlier and this guy helps open restaurants. And he said that his data shows that restaurants without an amazing, consistent experience had a customer retention rate of around 25%. Not great, I would say. But the restaurants that did have an amazing, consistent experience had a customer retention rate of over 70%.
Wonderful.
And so a lot of it, what he was saying, is sort of the stuff that we say. There were a lot of owners that were willing to pour time and effort into. Now, if you're listening, don't think about this as restaurant. I want you to think about this as a salon, okay? Owners were willing to pour time and effort into aesthetics, equipment, technology, and food development, right? So we're not doing food development at the salon, but they weren't interested in training, culture, and systems.
And those were the restaurants that didn't have great retention?
Yeah, that was, so those were the separators. Most restaurant owners wanted to pour into the looks of the restaurant. They wanted to pour mm-hmm. into the equipment that the restaurant had. And that stuff just isn't important to the clients. I mean, those are prerequisites. Like mm-hmm. your salon, sure, needs to look nice, but that's not why, it has to look nice either way.
That's not why people don't want to come into a disgusting, gross, out-of-date salon. So
just like
non-negotiable
a restaurant.
There.
Oh, right. It's a non-negotiable, but people believe that that is enough. And we see stuff in...
I think a lot of people believe that's what drives their business.
Yeah, false.
Is that, which I absolutely agree. I know you know that.
So the training culture and systems is what separates you from the pack. Those were the restaurants that had a focus, or the restaurants that had a focus on those things were the restaurants with a 70% retention. Okay. So I see things all the time that I question in this industry where maybe people, and I'm saying people, but salon owners are more focused on amenities than they are on the experience. And they think that amenities is the experience, but amenities are not. It's like when I go to a restaurant, the food has to be good. That's the prerequisite. Okay. I don't need all this extra stuff. What I do need is the experience to be good. So the food could be like, okay. Like we have a restaurant in town that the food is fine, but it's the way that they treat us. It's the way that when mm-hmm. we walk in, they know our name, or mm-hmm. when we walk in, we hear, "Hey Fords," like,
yeah.
It's the way that they say, "Do you want me to put in that side order of the of French fries? Because I know the boys are probably hungry." It's those sort of touch points that resonate more and keep us going back sometimes day after day, because our kids love that stuff right now. But though there are other restaurants that have great food, maybe even arguably better food, although it's different in town here, but the service is really lacking.
Right.
And so it's difficult to go there. And we've gone there with friends, and not friends, but family before. And I've explained to them, like, "Hey, the food's going to be great. Don't expect to be blown away by any service." And if you know that, you can wrap your head around it and it's fine. Right.
Yeah. Cause you've leveled to where, like, what to expect walking into it. Right.
Exactly. So, excuse me. I just wanted to touch on that because I see all these places that are like, "Here's our drink of the month. Here's our coffee flavor of the month. Here's our whatever."
You're not a drink place. You're not a coffee place. Like, those are great things to have. I think clients do get thirsty. I think clients show up and they couldn't stop to get their coffee. So it's nice that you have it. But I don't think that's like not what your business is riding on, is the drinks you offer. It shouldn't be. And if that is the biggest thing that you think is what the customer wants to experience, I think you need to reevaluate your business. Because if you're a salon, you should be doing the best hair possible, or whatever services you offer should be, that's where your focus should be.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So we have, this just happened actually this past weekend at our salon. One of the stylists had asked, "Could I come over and just help consult?" She's had a client and the client has been with her for a full year. And every time the client leaves, she is not absolutely happy with the end result of the color. So this is where it really should resonate that the experience the stylist is giving to this client keeps coming back for a full year, even though the color every time she leaves is not spot on where she wants it to be, because she loves the experience this stylist is giving her. She loves the salon. She loves everything about that, right? So she's coming in to get her hair done, leaving not 100% happy, yet still coming back in. She's like, "We'll get it one of these times." So this last time she came in, the stylist said, "Can you just help me consult? Because I don't know what I'm missing," and blah, blah, blah. We talk for like 10 minutes, the stylist, the client, and myself, kind of just like how to change sort of the way we're going to go about doing the hair.
Or consultation.
Consultation was like key here, right? And just some different ways to approach what she was doing and different ways to approach it at the end of it. Anyway, client leaves. Finally, after 1 year, it was like, "This is the color." And the stylist after was like, "How did I not even think to like change these few things?" I'm like, "You just didn't know and you needed another set of eyes." But I'm like, the win here is this client for 1 year kept going to you, like because of your the experience and everything else around you, not just the hair. Like it's just pretty amazing. And I think that's where you really, that's the level up, is that experience you're giving to that client.
And I think part of it too was because there was some assumptions being, it was a toning mm-hmm. thing, right?
It was. And it's a generation thing where everybody gets toned. This client, and when we talked through it, that is not what she wanted. And so it was actually, she was giving her, yeah, she was giving her a service that she didn't need. She also came from a different salon that definitely, we talked about this, like add on. So they were, yeah, she had to add on stuff in order to like, yeah, to stay in that salon. Where we coach to is, I'm like, well, but what does the client need? And if they don't need it, don't add it on, you know, like, yeah. So her mind was blown in so many different ways. And so was the client, and super appreciative of everything we could offer. So
sure. Cool. I think that's a great story. And it's so, I'm not saying don't push stuff, but don't push stuff. You only have to sell services to people that need them. I've seen even our younger staff that is working through how they're going to tone a client before they lift the client. I don't know how that's even possible.
It's not.
What do you know what you need to it's add not. Or take away? Or like, you're not at that point yet. But we see all this social media stuff where people are posting formulas and people think, oh, if I put that formula on any hair, it's going to look like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense if you think about it for, I don't know, half a second.
I see clients coming in with like, I want this toner. And I'm like, that's not how it works. Like, just show me the picture of what you want, the end result, and we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah. We're talking about customer service, but sit down, Sally.
Right.
We got this. I started reading a new book about hospitality. And there was a good story in there from a restaurant, and it was a high-end restaurant. And what was happening is they noticed that people were running out in the middle of their meals. And so they started asking, like, you know, where, you know, is there something going on? And they realized that people were going to feed the meters because they had parked outside and they needed to feed the meters. So what they had done was they tested this, you know, and I'm not saying, so don't just start doing stuff. Before I say things, I need to preface it.
Don't
just start doing stuff. You have to
figure. Don't be a spaz.
Yeah. Don't just make massive change or even little changes. Like, think it through, okay? Because
does it align with where your business should be?
Yeah. So what this restaurant started doing was it would just simply ask at the hostess desk. And they would say, where did you park? Where are you coming in from? And if they said they were parked in a meter spot, they would go out and put the 50 cents in the meter for them and then go over to the table and say, we took care of time because we want you to enjoy your experience here and not have to rush.
Yeah.
And over time, they started doing that. It made people really happy. It was kind of blowing people away. 50 cents. It's a 50 cent gesture.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to systematize it so that they didn't miss anybody. And they sort of became known for just taking care of people, you know, to this astronomical level. And there were obviously other things that were going on in this restaurant, but it can be something as little as feeding a meter for somebody. Think about it. We're in the service industry, and that directly lines up with hospitality. I believe that 100%.
Yes.
And we're bringing these people in to make them feel good about themselves, to relax, to take some time out of their day for them, not for us. It's not about us. The part that I love about hospitality, I always think about restaurants because I absolutely loved that part of my life. When you are of service to people, it feels really good. That's the reward. Mm-hmm. That's what you get out of it. I never was, and I'm not knocking anybody, but you see all the stuff that's like, I'm an artist and this is, my clients are going to do this and whatever. And that's social media for you, right? And everyone can jump on and argue and you can disagree with me. And I'm not saying you're not an artist. I'm saying you would probably be better served if you served better.
Mm-hmm.
There's a t-shirt for you.
Do it.
For sure. What else was going on with the customer experience? Let me look at my notes real quick. feel like I had some other stuff.
All right.
Do.
I do think it's, especially in our field, I think you see that, like, I'm an artist being creative, and I think those things are really important, but
super important. I'm not taking away from it.
Yeah. It's a creative industry and it's really, it's amazing. I mean, I love being part of it, but the part that I think does get forgotten often, or so I see on social media, is that being creative and being the artist is part of it, but it's more part of what, like, what you're doing for that client. So you're allowed to be creative and be an artist, go right ahead, but don't put yourself more important than the client that's sitting in your chair. Like, that's where I think there's sometimes I feel like there's stylists out there that it's all about them. When really, those stylists, if you're not busy or you're not retaining clients, the one thing you should look at is, what are you putting out for energy? Whether it's on a social media platform, energy in the salon you're working in, your energy, if it's all about you, I would turn it around. And if you can make a 360 and make it all about that person sitting in the chair and then go be creative and do amazing stuff, you will quickly grow your base, your foundation, and be a lot better at what you're doing. And the busier you are, the more clients you can be more creative, because you're not trying to have to, like, do all of these things to market to get them in. But if you are literally only about yourself, that's where you're going to start losing people, and it's not about the client at that point. And it should be client, client, client first. You get to do your job, because it is still a job. And like you said, Todd, yeah, it's customer service, it's hospitality. Like, that's where we're at.
Yeah, for sure. So, excuse me, my thought was what we're doing at Hello. So I was thinking about the other day, and then again last night before falling asleep, of a business meeting we were at recently where people were like, should I switch my business plan and become a rental salon because I keep losing people?
Yes.
And blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And I was thinking, so what we've done at Hello and what we're continuing to do is to build a group that is creating an environment for our clients. And mm-hmm. How we do that is by working on the fundamentals through chasing virtuosity and exhibiting fortitude and resilience. So when you start to bring those things together, what happens is it's really interesting. It's clean, but it's not uniform, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said? I saw you looking away.
I was looking at Gwen. It's clean, okay, but it's not uniform. I agree. Like, yeah, that's, everybody can be individual, right? But
yes,
here and we are. We all move and similarly.
Exactly. And it's something that's starting to become, at least at our salon, and if you put the work into developing your team and the basics and the systems and those things, it's beginning to become larger than the sum of its parts. Mm-hmm. So if you took everybody individually and added them up, you wouldn't have what Hello is when you walk in.
Right.
What Hello is a lot bigger than the sum of its parts. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you sort of curate a team that feels included and feels part of something bigger than themselves, that they're going to stay with you. Because,
well, yeah, and they're all protecting.
Go ahead.
They're all protecting parts of Hello for, like, what we've set out, right? Because we're all about, we talk about, like, what we stand for, what Hello is all about, how we make decisions. And now we've curated this team that it's just as important to them that everybody's doing this all together, because they want to be a part of this culture and they want to work with great people. So they're putting in effort that we've seen this year that maybe they weren't doing last year, because they're just like, this is a great place to work. Like, we're so lucky.
Yeah. And I think for people listening, if you're stressed out or you're like, I keep losing people, like, this is something that is not a quick fix, but this is something that will make your business super solid in the future. And it's like, even for example, someone could get stuck on something. Maybe somebody is new. We have a lot of new people at our place.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It happens. Guess what?
You can come in. Yeah, in a minute.
Guess what? There are a whole bunch of people here that have your back.
Right.
That are going to help you. And they want you to succeed. And take it or leave it, because it's not for, like, Hello is not for the people that have an ego. It's not going to work, because we don't really have, hi buddy, we don't really have the person that's off in the corner that wants to be the loner.
Right.
We recently brought someone on that was like, I want to come in, I want to do my job, and I want to go home. And I was like, that's cool. Yeah, no, good for you. That's what I was thinking, right? Yeah. And then what was it, day one or day two? Where she was, so you can tell the story.
Just hanging out.
She was just hanging out. She was talking to people. Go ahead.
Yeah. She had also, she had had to come in to do something for me, with me for payroll, whatever. And she was just sitting there talking to me for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, this is not someone that just wants to come in and go home. And she's like, I just like it here. Like, everyone's so nice. And it's just really awesome. Like, it's literally was like a breath of fresh air for her. She had been in her last slum for 12 years. So didn't know any different and was just like, wow, this is amazing. So there's days she does want to come in and just leave. And there's days where she's just kind of like hanging out. Yesterday, actually, when I was formulating with one of our stylists, I'm like, do you want to come help me formulate? And she's like, kind of, can I come over? And I'm like, she would have never done that before. Like, it just, it's just cool.
It's very cool. Even with Corey, we have a friend that is a salon owner and she's in our salon at least monthly, I would say.
Yep. Yeah.
And she comes in, she just wants to help and be part of something bigger than herself. So when you can start to focus on to sort of like, let me use a like a corporate term here, but to circle back and sort of wrap up, if you can focus on creating your culture and your systems and investing in training, not hack training, but like actual training,
good stuff,
actual good education.
And consistently do that stuff.
Yes, constantly. Then what you're going to do is you're going to start to attract people. So everyone says, oh, I'm never going to find someone that has 10 years of experience. We just did. And we're not, you know, I think what we're building is special, but I don't think we're like this, you know, crazy business guru people that have the world figured out. We're just doing the right things for the right reasons at the right time for the right people. And we focus on, consistently. And we're focusing on the people that are on our team. And by doing that, other people have started to be like, hey, what is that over there? I want to be part of that too. You know, we have currently two people that own their own businesses that are in our salon working on days.
Yeah.
You know, and we just
want to be part of our team.
Yeah. And we just had a 12-year person that came over to our salon. And I have actually a wait list. I started a wait list of people that have been reaching out. And I didn't expect anybody to accept being on a wait list, but I have a couple names. They reached out. I said, hey, at the moment, we had to put a hold because we had, you know, a really new staff and we are, our not loyalty, but what's the word I'm looking for? Our focus for, I can't think of a better word at the moment, but our focus needs to be on them. We've committed to them.
Yeah.
So we need to get them up and running first. And I had a couple of people reach back out and say, I would love to be on your wait list. You just let me know when I can come in and chat. And it's, I think that's really cool. And I think that's really special. And I don't think you need all the hoopla.
No.
I'm struggling with words today. I don't know why.
I think it's part of it. So we had the same thing. I had gone to, I am helping out with a cosmetology program at Pinkerton Academy, which is just a local school here. And I've done a talk there and met with the teacher a bunch and trying to help the students, you know, and I, as Todd and I have talked about, we have an apprenticeship. I take on an apprentice and currently have one. Anyway, through the program at Pinkerton, the girl had reached out like, can I meet with you? And I was like, well, are you a senior or a junior? Like, I still have an apprentice. She's like, I'm a senior, but I'd still like to meet with you and see the salon. So I was like, sure, I'll meet with you. She came in, hung out a little bit. We chatted. And she's like, I have met with some other salons that do apprenticeships. Like, I only want to work with you. And I'm like, this could be in a year or so. Like, I have no idea. She's like, I would wait. If you'll let me wait, I will wait. And I'm like, okay, we'll meet. We'll talk back in a couple months. We'll go from there. But like, again, she hung out on this day and was just like talking to the staff and part of it and the vibe of the salon and was just like, this is where I want to be if you'll have me, and I don't want to be anywhere else. And these are like kind of what we're hearing when people meet with us. And it says a lot about what we're doing and that, you know, that these things work for us. And there are people that really are like, I want to be a part of that because I've been in other salons and that's just not what I'm seeing. And it's very, very exciting. But it's work too. Like, don't just think, oh, I'm just going to do that too. Like, we work on these things constantly to keep creating and keep this balance of energy in the salon so that we can have great people.
Yeah, I don't think you need to blow up your salon if you're listening. I think what you need to do is really sort of figure out who you are and what you want.
Yeah.
And then you need to find a couple of people that want that too. And they'll know when you show it to them.
Right.
They're not just going to come in and see your vision. You have to tell them. I post almost every day.
Yes. On
Slack and in our communication, and I'm writing like stories and I'm trying to relate. And I'm sharing experiences from the past and I'm letting people know of how we got, what's the date today? April, whatever, how we got here.
Yeah.
Like, how did we get to, cause we didn't just wake up and Hello Hair was there.
Right.
That's been four and a half, five years in the making.
And rolling hills of that, you know, there's ups, there's downs.
And we're still not where we want to be. That's the other thing. So don't ever think that you're going, unless you set it up to sell or something like that, or you set it up where you want to be a hands-off owner. We've decided we don't want that. I don't know where that goes in the future. Maybe in the future we have a management level that is strong enough that we can step back from the day-to-day at the salon. Right now, we're the day-to-day at the salon. So it's constantly steering the ship. So when you're the business owner and operator, you're the CEO, you're the COO. You have to do all these things. You're HR. So you have to constantly push your vision and your mission to your team. They have to know what the goal is.
Right. And be reminded often.
Constantly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess, do you have anything else?
No.
Cool. That was great. Thanks. And welcome back, Jen.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
I hope that episode helped people, though, because it's been on our minds. We've been talking a lot about it because we hear a lot of that stuff. And I don't think you need to be stressed out. You need to just take action. And maybe that action is emailing us. I would love to talk to people.
Yeah, you might just need to organize your thoughts so that you're moving in the right direction and you stay on that path.
We've done a ton of free calls with people that don't, you know, sign up to work with us or for mentorship or whatever. And we're happy to do a free call with anybody listening and just give you sort of our plan and what's worked for us and even help you. I'll go as far as like helping to see if it can fit into your, you might need a different strategy, you know, and we can draw from past experiences there. I've worked in tons of restaurants and stuff where, you know, I have a lot of different strategies I've seen that are successful. So anyways, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.